This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
The point in Seerah where the Prophet ﷺ is going through a lot of difficulties, but it's all a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to see how much you can handle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is about to go through the hardest year of his life. Later on, when everything got kind of settled down in Medina, Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, "What was the hardest day of your life? Was it the battle of Uhud?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, it was what the people of Ta'if did to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And today, inshallah, we're going to be going over that. Last week we reviewed about the acceptance of the Islam of Umar radiallahu anhu and Hamza radiallahu anhu. And thereafter, we started to talk about the boycott. The boycott that was so torturous and oppressive. Just like we see in today's time, sanctions being done, dhulm, oppression, and why can't anybody talk about it? Why can't anybody say anything about it? Same thing, it went on for 3 years. Today, subhanAllah, a lot of people lose hope in the situation of Gaza and say it's been going on for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. The boycott against the Banu Hashim at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lasted for 2 to 3 years. And after all of that, alhamdulillah, it came to an end. But it had weakened Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to such an extent that as soon as it ends, 6 months later, Abu Talib passes away. Because he's old in age and now he's going through this mental torture of his people screaming out of hunger. And all of that is happening because he is protecting his beloved nephew. Imagine you're put in a situation where you have most beloved person to you that you have to take care of, but at the same time you're put under pressure by all the people around you to do something. This is what Abu Talib was facing. He was always worrying that one day he'll wake up and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be no longer there. He would tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You don't sleep on your bed. You go sleep on one of your cousins, one of my son's beds. Let one of my sons sleep on your bed. We don't want anybody to try to do anything to you." And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeing all of his efforts, the efforts of his uncle for him, the only thing he could wish for is that his uncle recites La ilaha illallah. And at the time when he's about to die, he goes to him and he whispers, "Please, my uncle, just recite it once and I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter for to do shafa'ah for you. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he recited it. Just please, just once recite it." That's why, subhanAllah, we don't recognize the blessing of Islam. We don't recognize the blessing of Islam that the most beloved person, the person who took care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else who can, he is dying without this kalima. And you and I received it. And subhanAllah, why is he not able to do it? Because at the time when he was about to utter the words, he was about to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, what happens? Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, and all the leaders, they're like, "Are you going to leave the way of your forefathers?" And simply because of peer pressure, he was not able to recite La ilaha illallah. Simply because of peer pressure, social pressure, he was, he made a decision that there's no way to come out of. Simply because of that. And that's why it's so crucial for us to understand the people that we need to be surrounded by. The people that we call friends. The people that we are influenced by. So that this way they influence us towards something good, not influence us towards something bad. That is something we need to really, really keep in mind. I know so many people who have left amazing decisions in their life. Why? Because of social pressures. I know some people, they had the best rishta come for their daughter, the best rishta. But they'll say no. Why? Because people kahenge ki, oh, he's married from this tribe or from this home or from this. No, the best people who were able to go and study deen, but the parents wouldn't allow. Why? Because people kahenge ki, oh, molvi ban gaya. He went on to become this, he went on to become that. I know the best people who were able to go and dedicate themselves to deen, but because of social pressure, and even today we have to recognize that even today, some people are ready to accept Islam, but they're not able to just because of that social pressure. You and I, we don't have to go to social pressure when it comes to our deen. But other decisions, whether it is decisions about our children or it is decisions of ourselves, if we are not surrounded by the right group of people, we will make the wrong decisions. We will regret it. We will do it because this person will say this and this person will say that. And we forget the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever chooses to please Allah, the people will automatically become happy with him. And whoever chooses to anger Allah, the people will automatically become angry with him. Today you tell me, the people that Abu Talib was afraid of their pressure, what did they do to him? What did they do for him? Did Abu Lahab do anything for him? Did Abu Jahl do anything for him? Did Utbah do anything for him? Did Abu Sufyan do anything for him? No one. But if he just recited La ilaha illallah, whispered it in the ears of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that would have been his ticket to Jannah. So it is for us to also recognize that we need to choose the right company. Even like this past week khutbah, my whole entire khutbah was about company. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi, that every single person, he follows the religion, the ways of his friends. And so when it comes to our friends, even just 2 days ago, one person came to me, student, he came to me, wanted to talk to me, not a student in our institution. He was in another institution and, you know, he needed some scholar to speak to. He came and started to speak to me and he says, you know, I was doing so good and I was this, but I got caught with this group. And because of this group, I did this. And because of this group, I did that. And because of this group, I did that. And he's reminiscing about all the different mistakes he did. But you know, you start to think that yes, you can say that, but in the hereafter, you cannot blame anyone but yourself. So today, we have to make the right people our friends. And so Abu Talib passes away. Before Abu Talib, Khadija radiallahu anha passes away. When Khadija radiallahu anha passes away, the one person the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finds peace and comforts in, she passes away. Abu Talib passes away. The person who gives him support, security, and all of that, he passes away. Now what? Now it's as if the whole world has become dark on him. Nobody is there to support him. What is he going to do now? Is this the time he's going to give up? Is this the time where he's like, that's it, I can't do it anymore? And we all go through situations like that in our life. We go through pressure and pressure and pressure. But is it that a time comes when we just give up and we're like, we can't do it anymore? Well, we see over here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognizes that it is too much for him to keep on trying, and nothing is happening. So he decides to go to Ta'if. And Ta'if is how far? Ta'if is how far, Abdul Hadi? 60 miles. 60 miles. I was teaching this the other day to the kids and I told them that it is further than us going from here all the way to Saxey by walk. It is more further than that. Imagine walking all the way there. One time we did a challenge with the students. We actually walked from Arlington all the way to Irving Masjid. They were telling me that I can't walk. So I was like, okay, let's do a challenge. It's what, like, I think 15 or so miles. 15 miles. So we left around 3 o'clock. Mulana Arshad Madani was coming over here. So I said, okay, who's ready to walk with me? And I think about 3 or 4 students got ready. We left around that time and we made it here for his bayan. We walked all the way. It was quite a journey. But khair, that was about 15 miles. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking 60 miles to go. And he has this hope that maybe these people will accept Islam. He's working hard and hard and hard, and finally he reaches. And he goes to the leaders over there. He goes to Abdi Ali. And he goes to Mas'ud and he goes to Urwa. These are the three leaders. He says, please, can you guys accept Islam? One of them is like, Allah couldn't find anybody better than you? One of them is like, if Allah chose you, I'm going to go and rip out the Kaaba's cloth. And one is like, listen, I'm just not even going to talk to you. It's better not to talk to you, because if you're actually a prophet, then I'm in trouble. And if you're not a prophet, then you're not worth me talking to. These are the responses the Prophet ﷺ gets. After trying so much and realizing that they're not going to accept anymore, he says, okay, don't accept, but please don't tell people. Don't just keep it a private thing between you and I. And then the Prophet ﷺ stays there calling people towards Islam and calling people. Nobody's really listening. The leaders get up and they go and they tell the children. They said, this person, he's crazy. Go take out rocks and go start stoning him with rocks. And the Prophet ﷺ is running. And all of the children are running. And his freed slave, Zayd ibn Haritha, is with him. And he's protecting the Prophet ﷺ with his own body. He's protecting with his own body to the point where his head becomes wounded in multiple places. Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ is running and running and running, and he's not even realizing where he reached, where he finally reaches one place, and he looks that he's sitting under the shade of a grape tree. And he's at this point, you know, just exhausted. Exhausted. And from far away, two guys from the leaders of Mecca, they see him. And they actually feel bad for him. Even they feel, they're the enemies, but even they feel bad. At this point, Jibreel alayhi salam comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and says, O Prophet of Allah, we see what happened to you. Here are the two angels, the angels of the mountains. They're here. They say salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They say, O Prophet of Allah, if today you want these two mountains of Makkah, the Akhshabain, we will get these two mountains and we will smash the city of Ta'if in it. And the Prophet ﷺ says, no, I don't want you to do that. Because perhaps somebody from this qawm will get up, will accept Islam, and perhaps that will become the means of their hidayah. And subhanAllah, later on we see the people who were, the person who went and conquered and gave, you know, dawah in the land of Hind, the land of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, all of these areas, was Muhammad ibn Qasim, who was from Ta'if. And so this was the eagerness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the ummah, that he said, no, don't crush them. As the two guys, the rich guys, when they see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they see him, they send one of their servants, his name is Addas, he's a Christian. He tells them, he's like, here's some grape, go take this to him. They bring the grape to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts, he starts and says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When Addas hears this, he's shocked. He's like, what are these words that you're uttering? I've never heard these names from the people over here. And he said that this is Islam and these are the names of Allah. He asked Addas, where are you from? He said, I'm from a place called Ninwa. He said, Ninwa, that's the city of my brother Yunus alayhi salam. He's like, how do you know Yunus alayhi salam? Is that because he was a prophet and he did this and this? Addas radiallahu anhu goes down and starts kissing the hands and the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He starts kissing the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He believes, and at that time, his two masters, they realize that Addas has been changed. When they go, they tell Addas, Addas, don't leave your religion for the religion of this person. Like, look at this, subhanallah. Is Addas on the religion of these two people? No. But simply, they just don't want Islam to grow. Because whether Addas is a Christian or he's a Muslim, what difference does it make to somebody who's a mushrik? Doesn't make any difference whatsoever. He's like, Addas, don't. Your religion is far better. Don't listen to this guy. But subhanAllah, this was the journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Ta'if. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's running and running and he's exhausted, and he sits down. At that point, let's say you try your best and you get exhausted and you get tortured. What do you say? Ya Allah, why this? Ya Allah, when are you going to send help? Ya Allah, what do you want me to do? But you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did? He starts to make dua. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'afa quwwati. Ya Allah, I ask you about the weakness of my strength. وَقِلَّةَ هِيلَتِي And the I don't have enough ways to go and give da'wah. I don't have anything. I'm asking you because of my weakness. Ya Allah, you help me. أنت أرحم الراحمين. أنت رب المستضعفين. You are the Lord of the weak ones. You help me, Ya Allah. Today, if I know that you are not angry with me, Ya Allah, I am happy. If you're not angry with me, I am happy. That's all I want. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is at the time of the most torn. Even he says later on in Medina that this was the toughest day of his life. This was more severe for him than Uhud on that day when his tooth broke, when there was blood coming out of his cheek. When his uncle passed away, when his Sahaba passed away, when they had to retreat, when they were under the anxiety that today they're going to annihilate Islam. This day was worse. The day of Taif was worse than the day that I just explained. And what is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying? Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'afa quwwati. Ya Allah, I am complaining about the weakness of my own strength. It's me. The problem is with me. He's not saying, Ya Allah, the problem is from your side. This is how we develop a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if I could summarize seerah in a few words, and if you can leave with this, I think it is sufficient. Seerah is your relationship with Allah. If you can go and develop a relationship with Allah, to where you are pouring your heart out, you're having your tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have gained something from the seerah. You have learned something. Seerah is to know how to love Allah and how to humble yourself in front of Allah and how to rely on Him and how to have hope in Him. All of these are things that has to do with ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, the people who got up in the middle of the night, or the people who are in some strength, the people who have tasted the sweetness of the warm tears of the love or the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flowing down their cheeks, they will tell you that that is the sweetest moment of their life. Nothing compares to that. That is the most fulfilling moment of your life. Is when you have the warm tears out of the love or the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flowing down your cheeks. You will never find a moment sweeter than that. That is what we need to understand. When we tire ourselves, and then we pick up our hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, you forgive us. Ya Allah, you guide us. We make those type of things. That's what we need from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let any effort go to waste. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now decides that now I have to go back to Mecca. At this point, his adopted son, his freed slave, asked him, Zayd ibn Haritha, O Prophet of Allah, how are we going to go back to Mecca when they have kicked us out? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he say? Allah will make a way out for us. Allah will make a way for us. Don't worry. And they proceed. As they're proceeding, subhanAllah, look, 60 miles of walk, and the torture, and the humiliation, and all of that. And guess what? And they're in the middle of the desert. Guess what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing in the middle of the night? Guess what he's doing in the middle of the night? He's getting up for tahajjud to pray. He's getting up for tahajjud to pray. And at this moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a group of jinn. And the jinn said that we have heard you reciting the Quran and we are here to accept Islam. And that was the first time a group of jinn came to accept Islam, and thereafter many times the jinns came and accepted Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making efforts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here wants to show him your efforts are not going to waste. Maybe it's not going to the people that you're targeting, but it's going somewhere else, so don't you worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing to him that today a group of jinns are coming, a day is going to come where other people will come to you and accept Islam as well. So be hopeful. So we also need to learn in the time of strength, in the time of weakness, in the time of gain, in the time of loss, in the time of happiness, in the time of loss, in the time of sadness. How can we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pour our hearts? Pour our hearts. Today, everybody should go with one thing. Go and reflect over the incident of Taif. As you guys know, we cover the seerah in a very brief way here. We don't go into too much details. But go and reflect over the incident of Taif. And go and see how you can pour your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you can go and memorize the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'afa quwwati. Ya Allah, I am complaining to you of the weakness of my strength. And this is how we develop a relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As they get close to Mecca from Taif, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends somebody to go and speak to Aqnas ibn Shuraiq, one of the leaders of the Quraysh, and tell him, hey, can you please give me protection that if I enter into Mecca, that nobody's going to harm me? And Aqnas ibn Shuraiq is like, I'm not going to do that. He goes and asks somebody else. He asks Suhail ibn Amr. He said, can you please give me protection? He's like, I'm sorry, I cannot give you protection. Just imagine the situation he's in. And then he asked Mut'im ibn Adi. And he said, can you please give me protection? And Mut'im ibn Adi, even though he did not pass away as a Muslim, he said, yes, I will give you protection. And he told all his sons to come out and have your weaponry with you. And Muhammad is going to come and make ilan, make an announcement that nobody is allowed to do anything to Muhammad because I am protecting him today. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on, and Mut'im ibn Adi with his son is standing there until he enters into his house. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never forgot the favor of anyone. He remembered at the time of Badr, when they had the prisoners at the time of Badr, he said that if Mut'im ibn Adi was alive today and he was to ask me to free these people, I would have done it. I would have done it. I remember his favor. This is now bringing us to one of the last years in Makkah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried with his closest people, with the further away people. He tried away with different tribe. His uncle passed away. His wife passed away. When his wife passed away, some companions say, we remember. When his wife passed away, we did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laugh for months. He would just be sitting there with so much grief, so much pain. So much grief and so much pain. He loved Khadija radiallahu anha so much that he would always talk about her. He would talk about her so much that one day Aisha radiallahu anha is like, Allah has blessed you with a nice young wife. Why do you keep on bringing her up? Right? She's referring to herself. I'm here. I'm your wife. Why do you keep on bringing her up? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got so angry that his face turned red. Like, what do you want me to do if Allah put her love in my heart? What do you want me to do when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me all my children through her? What do you want me to do when I remember that nobody accepted me and she was the one to accept me? Nobody was able to support me and she was there to support me. This is a person who just left his life. Abu Talib, he would sacrifice his own son to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He just passed away. The Quraysh are doing anything in their capacity to get rid of him. The people of Taif are not ready. This is all the situation he's going through, and he's still waking up for tahajjud. He's still asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, please don't be angry with me. Please don't be angry with me. Like, we would be like, I'm angry with you. But he's asking Allah, Ya Allah, please don't be angry with me. This is the ta'alluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of us need to learn. This is the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of us need to learn. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, he got a little bit more upliftment and a little bit more encouragement from the jinns accepting Islam. And so he's like, now I'm going to continue to call towards Allah. And the next step that he's going to take is that as people come for Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go and start to call them towards Islam. And this will start to make way towards planting the seeds for Medina. So inshallah, one, two more sessions in Makkah. And then after that, we will start the Medinan session, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand the seerah and all of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allow us to implement it and develop the love for Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.